If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, and that's why I am so excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that offers a full range of products designed to cover all of your garden and lawn needs. In years past, my vegetable garden, I neglected the soil and I didn't have much yield. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, your garden may not succeed. And so this year, I am so excited to cultivate the soil before planting the plants with Coast of Maine's organic products. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. So next time you're at your local retailer, look for Coast of Maine products. Get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. coastofmaine.com. Well, hello there and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian and you are listening to a bonus episode where I am answering a listener question of the Sustainable Minimalist podcast. Today, I am doing my absolute best to answer Vanessa's question. Vanessa wrote to me a question, so I'm actually going to read her question and then I'm going to give you my answer. And as always in these bonus episodes, I try to be as quick and concise, but also as thorough as I can be. So here we go. Vanessa writes, "Hey Stephanie, I wanted to leave a voicemail, but I'm currently trying to keep my newborn asleep, so I thought I'd send you a message. My question is related to glass. I just moved to a small country town, and for some reason, they stopped accepting glass for recycling. I had purposely been buying more glass products to avoid plastic as much as possible because I knew that glass was more sustainable. But now that they are not accepting glass, I don't know what to do with all this extra glass that I have, and I also don't want to go back to buying plastic versions. Do you have any suggestions?" Well, Vanessa, excellent question. I must say, as a side note, on a personal level, I learned an awful lot in researching my answer for your question. So let's get started with some background, with some glass facts, if you will. Glass is made from natural raw materials, such as sand, which is also known as silica, soda ash, and limestone. But to make glass, you need very high temperatures to take those raw materials, to take that silica, soda ash, and limestone, and create glass. So the furnaces used to melt the materials to make the glass, they emit pollution and emissions into the atmosphere. I should also say that glass's shipment around the globe requires more fossil fuels than plastic because it's heavy and it's bulky and it generally takes up more space on that freight train or plane or truck. There's also the degradation aspect to glass versus plastic. It's been widely mentioned in eco-friendly circles that plastic takes about 800 years to break down. Glass takes 1 million years to break down. So once it's here to stay. Now, what I found particularly interesting when I was researching the glass question was recent research into the emissions of our favorite beverage containers. So researchers at the University of Southampton in England set out to determine which beverage containers, so they're only looking at beverage containers, but which beverage containers contain the most versus the least harm to the environment. And they found that glass is actually more detrimental than plastic from an emission standpoint because of the fossil fuels it requires to produce. Think about those furnaces and ship. Think about the heavy, bulky packaging that is glass. So yes, this study just looked at the emissions question. And when we look at the problem of packaging through the emissions lens, plastic wins. But I think what you're getting at here, Vanessa, is the pollution problem. And when we look at the problem through the lens of pollution, things start to look a little bit different. Glass does not contribute to microplastic pollution, for instance, whereas that is a main detriment to plastic. Glass can be recycled over and over and over and over again infinitely, assuming your municipality recycles it. But plastic, you can just recycle, or should I say downcycle, 8 times on average before it then becomes trash. And so while plastic may come out on top from an emissions perspective, plastic almost always comes in last from a pollution-focused lens. And I should say as a side note here, there's one other way we can look at this problem, and that is, of course, through a personal health lens. Plastic, when heated, can leach harmful toxins into our food. Glass doesn't do that. So there's some facts about glass. Now let's move on to some facts about recycling in 2021 in the United States. I'm going to give you the annotated version and just say that China used to take our recyclables and our non-recyclable trash, and they don't anymore. And so because China doesn't want our stuff, U.S. waste companies are stuck with the recycling that nobody wants. There's also additional costs associated with keeping our recycling in America. And that's because domestic recycling standards require that we put in more time and more labor to sort all those items that we threw into the trash or the recycling bin with lofty expectations. So when you or I recycle our plastic shampoo bottle but don't wash it out first, labor goes into taking care of that problem. Or when we recycle something that our municipality does not recycle, somebody has to sort through that. I'm actually not all that surprised that your municipality is cutting back on its recycling program. And that's because the state of recycling in the United States in 2021 is chaos. Garbage companies are scrambling. It has been widely publicized in the media that some companies are just dumping recycling into landfills when they think nobody's watching. And so in some weird, strange, backwards way, I almost applaud your municipality for being upfront with its citizens and saying, we're not taking this anymore, because a lot of waste management companies aren't doing that. If you want more information on the state of recycling in the US, I did an episode on it. It was episode 78. I will link to it in the show notes if you're interested. But just so we're all on the same page, even in municipalities that are doing right by recycling, nationwide numbers as per National Geographic. National Geographic found that nationwide, 66% of paper and cardboard gets recycled, 27% of glass nationwide gets recycled, and just 8% of plastics get recycled. The larger issue here is the way that we as consumers are viewing recycling, I think. We love recycling. We're thrilled about it. And I believe we are thrilled about it because when we recycle, we feel good about ourselves and we think we're doing all we can for the planet. And so when we toss that plastic yogurt container, or in your case, Vanessa, that glass bottle into the recycling bin, we're assuaging any guilt that we may have associated with relying on single-use items in the first place. So I think the bottom line here is that every packaging material, whether it's plastic or glass or cardboard or aluminum, every packaging material has some detrimental effect on the planet. And the solution is not recycling that packaging material, because recycling as a system is broken. The question shouldn't be which packaging material has the least detrimental effect. The question instead should be, how can we use less packaging material altogether? How can we, in a perfect world, use none? How can we contribute to the creation of a society that's circular with regard to its packaging as opposed to linear? Now, Vanessa, I'm going to get into my suggestions that you asked for in your question. And I should say off the bat that your question's tricky. I don't have a cut and dry answer for you, but I do have 6 questions for you and hopefully other listeners listening to consider. So I have 6 questions. I'm answering your question with 6 more questions. My first question for you, of course, shouldn't be a surprise, but my question is, what can you make at home or what can you buy in bulk elsewhere? What can you buy loose and what can you do without? That's all question one. The best option is always to get away from the disposable and single-use packaging whenever, wherever possible. So buying package-free is the holy grail. But you did mention that you moved to a small country town. So I'm wondering whether package-free is available to you, whether bulk bins are accessible. Some locations have more options and more resources than others. Some have farms down the street. Some have dairy farms down the street where you can return your glass bottles. And if that's not your location, it's not your fault. So that brings me to question 2. If you are continuing to bring home glass, what else can you do with those glass containers? Reuse is always better than recycling, no matter the material. Reuse is always better than recycling. And that's because reusing conserves resources, reduces waste in the waste stream, preserves landfill space, and causes less pollution than the recycling process. So reuse in all of our minds should always come above recycling. For me, when I buy glass, I save all the jars with the wide lids in a box in my basement. I know that's not very minimalist of me, but when it comes time to harvest our honey from our bees in the fall, I have all my repurposed glass containers ready to go. So that's just one idea. But I should say glass jars are awesome. They're great for organizing. They can organize your craft supplies or your tool bench. Let's say screws in one jar, nails in another. Glass jars are great for freezing and storing food. A Google search will lead you to some real excellent reuse ideas that work for you in your season of life. But I should say, I do know that there comes a time when you are going crazy with the amount of glass jars in your house and you do not need another one. So in that instance, could you put them up on your local Buy Nothing group? I'm wondering whether somebody in your community would happily take them. Question number 3 for you, Vanessa, is can you buy your go-to items in recycled glass? Recycled glass containers are better from an emission standpoint than new glass or virgin glass. Similarly, question number 3, I'm still on question number 3, is can you be discerning when you're buying and buy items with the least amount of total packaging. Perhaps you buy the biggest olive oil, let's say, as opposed to a bunch of smaller ones. Question number 4 for you, Vanessa, is do you know your small town's recycling guidelines to the letter? And if not, can you find them online and can you memorize them? I ask that because there are different plastics, and the number in the triangle at the bottom of plastics says something about the resins, and it says something about whether your town takes them. So as a general rule, if the number in the arrowed triangle is a 1 or a 2, they're more likely to be recycled than anything from 3 to 7. But just because my town recycles 1 and 2s doesn't mean your town does. So for all of you listening, it's really important to get on the website of your local waste management center and see what they take. Because if you're putting 4s in a recycling bin that only takes 1s, you are just contributing to the cost and labor problem associated with recycling in the US. Question number 5 for you, Vanessa, is can you buy in aluminum or cardboard, assuming that your sleepy town still takes aluminum and cardboard for recycling? Both aluminum and cardboard have high nationwide recycling rates. I should say here, though, as a side note, that aluminum can be very detrimental to the planet if it's not recycled, and that's because aluminum can have toxic effects on marine life. And as a side note to the side note, I should say is that I have heard it said that aluminum packaging for food and water can cause dementia in humans, but at present, there's no strong evidence to support this. Just something to keep in mind. Question number 5 for you, Vanessa, is, do you have any friends or family in neighboring towns? And if so, can you bring your glass to them for them to recycle on your behalf? And question number 6 is, can you reach out to your recycling center for more information? Could you perhaps write a strongly worded letter and have your friends in town do the same? Perhaps you could use your voice, your discontent with their decision to no longer recycle glass, and amplify it for change. So I would just say, Vanessa, your question is a good one. It's one with no clear answer. I say, do not give up. I say, do the best you can. Knowledge is power. And the fact that you're even asking this question says that you care. So I thank you so much for writing to me. I hope I did right by your question. Listeners, reach out to me. Did I get it right or not so much? Reach out to me. You can do so through the link in this week's show notes. And if you have a question and you like these little 15-minute bonus episodes, call me, leave your name, ask your question, say goodbye. I will answer your question on an upcoming bonus episode. I thank you all so much for listening as always, and I will see you on Tuesday for our regularly scheduled episode. Take care.